Hour number three of DVD. D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick. Hey, don't forget, this fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw is going to perform at, I want to say this right, Trinitix Rock the Cradle. This event is sure to be a great time celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.com. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. First day in pads for the Titans today. D-Mace and I were out at training camp, and the big theme today, there's no question about it, these were the growing pains of a rookie quarterback. Cam Ward struggled some today through multiple interceptions, three at least, maybe four. I don't want to say I lost count, but it was a rough day. There were a lot of throws that were just not close. And as D-Mace has pointed out, a lot of them were attacking down the field. They were really pushing the ball down the field today just to try to get a reference point. So it was interesting. So Brian Callahan addressed the media before practice, and I thought it was interesting what he had to say about Cam Ward before they took the field and had some of the struggles that they had.
Playing quarterback in the NFL, I don't think there's any substitutes of playing quarterback. You know, there's so many things they learn when they play the game that you can't necessarily simulate and teach. That part of being in the fire is what helps quarterbacks get better faster. So I've always been a big believer in guys playing. That's how they improve. So his demeanor gives me a ton of confidence that he can handle a rough spot or two. Because, look, it's the reality of quarterback playing the league and being a young player. Like, there's going to be ups and downs. It happens. But you see his demeanor, his heart rate never changes. He doesn't flinch when it comes to a mistake or two, and he just goes right back and does it again. And I think that's the makeup you have to have as an NFL quarterback, because, you know, every quarterback in the league throws interceptions. Every quarterback in the league gets sacked. Every quarterback in the league loses games. So you have to battle through those moments, and the mindset and the makeup of the person is really what separates guys and being able to handle those things. So Cam has shown thus far that he's up to that task, and there's still things to come and still things he's going to have to deal with, but pleased with his ability to handle it so far.
Okay, so there's Brian Callahan before practice, and it's so interesting that that's where the questioning took him, and he talked about how he feels like Cam Ward can handle the fire of rough spots. He doesn't flinch. He can bounce back. He can go through the adversity. And that absolutely played itself out today. So my question is a little bit here, D-Mace. Did they almost try to put him in a difficult spot? Because I have heard that as a coaching philosophy. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the first day in pads, but I have heard, for example, my background in basketball. There were plenty of practices, and Bobby Knight, I've read, famously did this, where you try to make the practice harder than it's going to be in the game. You're going to put stuff up there in front of your team that is so difficult on purpose, so that when you get in the game, it almost seems easier in some ways. So do you think, when he said that, did you think in his mind Brian Callahan was saying, Cam might struggle today. I'm going to put some tough stuff in front of Cam.
I think as a head coach, that's what you need to do. You want to put your quarterback in sort of this advantageous situation and see how he reacts, see how the teams react based upon what he's doing. Because you understand, listen, it's not always going to be how we draw it up. Do we want it to be that way? Absolutely. But it's not going to be that way. So I want to throw as many scenarios at you as possible. So because a lot of this you may see on game time. Some of it you may not. But we're going to throw so much stuff at you and make you sort of think on the run, so to speak, but not running, but think on the run, that there's going to be some mistakes made. But we want to see how you handle them. We want to see if you recognize your mistakes or if you recognize what we're trying to do quickly as far as what we're trying, what the defense is trying to do to our offense. If you're picking it up, because listen, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinators, before practice, they set up scripts. They said, whether it be 7-on-7, we're going to emphasize the deep ball. Now, there are some portions of practice where it's just, okay, we're calling it from the hip. Like, this team period, we're calling it straight from the hip. We're not going by the script. We're calling it straight from the hip. Those are more competitive because it's like your defense versus my offense. You don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what you're doing. So those are a little bit more competitive. And you get a truer picture. But there are times within a practice where you script the practice so the quarterback almost in a sense is struggling. He's going to struggle, but you want to see how he pulls himself through that struggle. You're not looking at, oh, he's not completing pass. You're looking like, okay, yeah, that was going to be incomplete. I knew it. Now, let me see how he comes back the next play, or let me see how he comes back the next period when we throw that same thing at him. How does he respond then?
Yes. And that goes back to something we hit on with T.J. Watt. Mm-hmm. And when T.J. Watt was calling out the, why does anybody keep stats in practice? Exactly. This is dumb because you don't know the context. Mm-hmm. I will guarantee you will see, if it's not already out there, I don't know if Nick Suss or John Glennon or anybody or Jim White will put out any stats from practice or complete, but it'll be ugly if they do, right? They're definitely going to chronicle the interceptions. But what we don't know is the context. And it did strike me because I didn't hear this clip until after I was driving here. I just watched practice, mm-hmm. but it did make me pause and say, did Callahan sort of set up to where he was going to really put Cam Ward to the test? Mm-hmm. And he's confident in saying, I think he can handle a tough day.
Yes,
I think he can handle it, and he's going to need to handle it, right? But let's give him some adversity mm-hmm. early on. And this may be the quicker path to learning.
Yeah, there's always, you as a head coach or an offensive coordinator, you are tasked to try to find the best way to get your quarterback to learn, to speed up the learning process. So, you know, every coach sort of has their own philosophy on how to do that. You know, maybe Coach McCallahan's is, okay, let's throw a lot at him, see how he processes it. We're not looking so much of is he completing the pass or is he not. Now, if it's wide open, you don't complete it. Now, we do have a problem, but we're not so much concerned about the pass being completed per se. We want to see if he's recognizing what they're doing to him. Because if he's recognizing what they're doing to him, I think eventually the connection will come. And that's what we talked about. It seems like he was a little bit too slow on things today. It was processing it too slow. And sometimes, you know, he saw it, but again, it didn't come out as fast as it should have. You hope that by showing him that today, that the next practice, things quicker. He sees it quicker. If I was always told, if the quarterback hits you in the back of the head, that's your fault. Seriously.
Right.
It's your fault because either you're not getting your head around fast enough and getting out of your break, or you don't see the blitz. And the quarterback has to release it. So if he hits you in the back of the head, that's your fault. That's the way we were taught. And I think it's true. Because if you're seeing it the way the quarterback's seeing it most times, you're not going to get hit in the back of the head. It got to a point where I wasn't getting hit in the back of the head by Steve or Neil or Joe because we figured each other out. And we saw the same thing. That's what Cam has to start doing with the receiver. They got to see the same thing because if I hit you in the back of the head once, that was okay. But if it happens more than that, then we got a problem.
I think we're going to see a heightened. This is building to some drama tomorrow.
Yeah, practice, I hope so. Right?
We're
going to
be out there again. We're going to see how he does respond, which will be part of that growth process. Our coverage of Titans training camp, by the way, is presented by Macero and 12 South and Parman Energy Group. So this gets to the bigger question that is a theme of the season, mm-hmm. and that is, can Brian Callahan survive and not be the scapegoat, not be the guy that takes the fall if they struggle? And also for those, and I would be in this camp, who are hoping that Brian Callahan graduates into this job and is given some leeway, because it is an advantage, I think, for a rookie quarterback to grow with the same – offensive staff and not constantly be shaking up and changing your offensive terminology, the coordinator, all of that stuff. So for Cam Ward's development, you're hoping that Brian Callahan survives. That would be best case scenario in my mind. But people are wondering that because it's also easy to say, he's not my guy.
Yes.
Mike Barganzi, Chad Brady, that's not my guy. Let's get my guy in. It's happened in the history of sports, in every sport. So here's what Lewis Riddick said when D-Mace asked him about Brian Callahan and is he the right guy in his mind.
Lewis, what are your thoughts on
Callahan? This is Adam.
As a head coach, and do you think he is the right coach to maximize Ward's talents and get out of him all of the things that you were just addressing?
From a personality and demeanor perspective, he is one of the most enjoyable people to talk to of all the guys that we've sat and talked to in my time, you know, doing live games and talking to these guys in production meetings as I've ever talked to. Very even keel, very knowledgeable about the process that it takes in order to build a quarterback from the ground up, manage him during the game, stay in tune with him during the game, get him into situations that help him remain comfortable, giving him some leeway to go ahead and, you know, play outside of the box, help him, you know, decipher what he saw coming off the football field so he can make the, you know, appropriate corrections and then go out there and improve. These are all things that, from my experience with him and from talking to people who have been around him, lead me to believe that, yeah, he is the right person. He will be able to get that done. Now, there's just a lot that's going to go into Cam's ultimate success failure. Obviously, Brian's a big part of it, but I don't think there's nothing that I've seen from what I've been exposed to with him or with anybody else has told me about him that would lead me to believe that he is not the guy.
So that was a good initial talk. And he goes on to say, too, because you followed up with him, D-Mace, about the whole lame duck. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you get labeled, look at him. It's not his guy. He's the lame duck. And Lewis Riddick had some good philosophical discussions. Mm-hmm. You can tell he does think that Brian Callahan has a lot of credibility. I think right now with the fan base, there's a lot of, let's see. Mm-hmm. Because he's not Mr. Rah-Rah. Right, he's not going to wow you with some video of him giving a speech to the team. That's not in his DNA.
No.
And they haven't won. So he hasn't earned his stripes. But he said, if you're the GM, if you're Mike Borgonzi, and you shouldn't go looking for reasons to fire him, take it organically. Because sometimes in the history of the NFL, there are GMs, etc., you think you're smarter than you really are because it's a razor's edge that determines success. It's, you know, all of these factors that I think Brian Callahan is not fully responsible for. And at the same time, he does have to be held accountable for some of it. But all that being said, this will be an interesting litmus test here, day in and day out, with how Cam Ward does in the training camp, because it will reflect on Callahan.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it, it's not, and again, I'll say this, I don't think it's more so the record, it's the development, and it's not so much of, it's the development of the quarterback, because if, say, for instance, you know, the linebackers aren't developing, well, we just changed the linebackers coach, but if you are developing that quarterback and you see progress in him, I'm not changing the head coach. I'm telling the head coach, hey, you need to get you another linebackers coach. You need to get you another, you know, wide receivers coach. I'm not advocating for those guys to be fired, not one bit. I'm saying if those guys aren't, say the receiver room right now is a sit. They only have three guys with experience in this league. Three guys, Lockett, Ridley, and Jefferson, true experience. If those other guys aren't developed by the wide receiver coach, but the quarterback is developing, then it's going to be said you need to get somebody else to develop that position. Because while you're developing your quarterback, we're not getting that out of the receiver. So I think a lot of it is hinged on his development with this quarterback, Cam Ward. That's why you need to put him in positions where it's almost inevitable that he's going to fail right now, but you just want to see how he handles it. If those other positions don't develop the way you want to, get you a new coach, get you a new position coach. But we're keeping a head coach because it seems like he's developing the quarterback the way we want it to. But usually if the quarterback's developing, you're winning football games.
Ron has an interesting text on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He said, do you think, D-Mace, that a coach would go as far as to tell the defensive coordinator what the offense is going to do in order to put extra pressure on Cam? In other words, this theory of you try to make it tougher on your quarterback than it's actually going to be in a game.
Absolutely.
Have you ever seen anybody do that?
But they're not going to tell them. They're just going to say, here's the play. You strip the defense. Here's the play. Oh, man. Here, am I going to put on my glasses off? Here's the play. Whatever it is. All right. You know, all right, motion San Diego. All slants. I'm telling you what we're running. I ain't telling you where the ball is going. I'm just telling you this is the play we have in. Now call your defense. Now, Cam, because they may set up a defense to take away his first option. That's all they're doing, taking away a defense to take away his first or second option. Let's see how fast Cam scans and get to that third option. That's scripting it in a way not necessarily to make the quarterback look bad, but make the quarterback have to go through his progression. Okay, I'm gonna sit inside on this San Diego. I'm gonna sit inside on Calvin Ridley. He can't run a slant. I'm gonna sit inside on the slot guy Lockett. There's no double slants here. On the backside, I'm gonna make it look like I'm inside, but I'm gonna play man outside. At the last minute, I'm a head up to outside. Well, Cam got to read all this now. He has to read it quick. I took away his first two options. Go to your third option. Let's see how fast it takes you from get to 1, 2, to 3. That's basically what it is. Mm.
Joey from Bellevue says, I'm curious how he's going to do in the joint practice against the Bucs and the Falcons. That'll be the next step in the process. But he said, guys, you're on it. Jim Wyatt already has put out the stats for Cam's practice today. I'm sure Jim is not the only one that has done that.
And when I was telling, I was sitting on the, I was talking to Hutt, and Hutt said, Mace, why do you got those screens up there? And at first I didn't see them. I was like, oh, those. I said, what teams are trying to do now? I think it's more so for the fans behind us. They can't see practice. A lot of them can't see practice because of everything is at ground level. Well, they're trying to give them a game time experience. So what do you do when you can't see the field? You go to the Jumbotron to watch the play.
And it's on a delay. So and you it's can on actually a delay. See the
yeah,
next
so you
play.
Can yeah. actually see the play. And maybe a player, as he's walking back, just like he does in a game, he looks up at the Jumbotron and he looks at the play as it's going. He's getting the replay of it. He's like, either he's excited or he's like, man, I was open.
And well, now we just had the caller say that the iPad was invented in 2010. Now you see iPads all over the place on the
exactly.
sideline looking
so,
at stuff.
So when you see stuff like that, they're just trying to give you a sort of this game time experience without it being an actual game. That's why you throw stuff at the quarterback just like you would approach the fan base, try to give them as realistic of a picture you can in practice with the fans so they can look over there and see the play as it's going on again. That's what you're trying to give Cam Ward. The most realistic look at a play that he can possibly get, because we may call San Diego or we may call some other play and they may play the perfect defense on the call side. How fast are you getting back to that third? How fast are you getting back to that third receiver or that swing out the back?
When we come back, we're going to hit on another topic that has hit to the eastern part of the state. Over in Knoxville, there's been a lot of buzz about one of the key players for the Vols, and there is some news on that front. It's been a sort of a tumultuous drama, a little bit, if you want to, for lack of a better term. And Josh Heupel addressed it for the first time in a while, and so we'll tell you what he said. Stay tuned. We're listening, or this is DVD here on 102.5 The Game. Back here on DVD, 102.5 The Game, I'm going to ask the question to David James. Is Jarrett Stillman going to grace us with his presence in the final segment?
I got a text from him. Yes, we got him.
Isn't that something?
Thank goodness.
We feel so much more important.
Yes.
Isn't this good?
He didn't big time us.
He didn't big. And he was at practice this morning.
Yes, he was at practice.
And we have had a couple of texts wondering how Jared's going to react after He's going to give you some I told you so, yeah. I'm sure, about but overhyping the Saturday performance. Because he, as the theme of the day is, yes, Cam Ward struggled today. It's not the end of the world, but he did have some growing pains today.
But he did admit at the beginning of practice, he told me that it feels different out here. He said that. Now, I don't know if it was a different good or a different bad, but he said it feels different. It could be Cam Ward. Didn't people say, hey, it's just a little different around here now that Cam Ward.
It's definitely different.
Maybe it has hit Jarrett, too, that, yeah, Cam Ward does make this thing a little different. You know, I feel a little something about it, you know? So Jarrett said it. I didn't say it.
We'll expound on that
exactly.
In the next segment.
He has to explain himself.
In the meantime, remember to tune in later to ESPN 94.9 The Fan as the Sounds take on Scranton Wilkes Barre. Pregame begins at 5:20 and the first pitch is at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. The trade deadline in Major League Baseball is Thursday afternoon.
Also, it's Wilkes Barre.
I always get that wrong, but it seems to change. I feel like people say it different ways.
Yeah,
I gotta consult my friends from Pennsylvania and say where did I go wrong?
Hey, my guys from Scranton. What
Wilkes Barre? It's spelled B A R R E, and I guess I don't know. Maybe I've just been reading the backs of baseball cards and never asked anybody how do you say this.
Nah,
is that still the Yankees AAA?
I think it is, right? I think so. I believe so. I got to double check.
So, with that in mind, keep an eye on the trade deadline coming up on Thursday. But here's the story we wanted to hit this segment here. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of drama with Boo Carter, defensive back for University of Tennessee. And there was speculation, and it was fueled a lot by all of the action you hear on social media, right? And in a town like Knoxville, it was dominating a lot of discussion there on, hey, what does this mean? Is this real? Is it not real? And Josh Heupel had to come out and announce some things today. He is not dismissed in spite of a tumultuous offseason. I'm reading this off of CBSSports.com, Will Backus. So he is not dismissed from the team leading up to the official beginning of training camp. And of course, we know now, in a college sports season, there really is no off season. you never really get to go home. It's really weird to me. I still wish they would try to separate it a little bit, but it seems like you never leave. So Heupel came out and addressed this. Carter has not been with the team since July 16th. So we're going on a couple weeks now. When he got into an altercation with teammates, Carter will not return to the field immediately, though Heupel did not discuss any plans for a suspension. Boo is part of our team here, Heupel said. There are some things that he's got to accomplish to get back on the field with us. We don't have a set timeline. Our leadership council has been a part of these discussions with me and with Boo. Carter's absence had nothing to do with revenue sharing or NIL. And that was where the speculation, I think, went rampant on social media. The tension between the two sides stemmed from what Tennessee and its player leadership council consider multiple team rule violations. Carter did not attend Tennessee's team workouts leading into its fall camp, which is set to begin July 30th. Players had to report to campus on July 29th. Retaining Carter, in spite of the drama, is significant for Tennessee in that he was a member of the 2025 preseason All-SEC third team after impressing as a freshman for the Vols in 2024. He made an early impression as a punt returner. He fielded 12 kicks for 198 yards, eventually emerged as a starter on defense at the star position, Tennessee's name for its slot corner. He finished the freshman campaign with 28 tackles, 3 for a loss, 1 sack, etc. There's also some speculation he wants to play on offense as well. So there's a lot going on there. But, David, let me throw it to you because you followed him for longer. But so how big of a story has this been?
This has been like a a pretty big story. I've seen a lot of my friends who are Vols fans talk about this. I mean, last year there was always those like, you know, oh, you know, I'm thinking about transferring, and he got the big deal from the NIL right around December time before, you know, wanting to go to Colorado. I think that's what the rumors were around, at least around December, January time. And Tennessee got a new deal going around that time. And I think that's what everyone was afraid of, just because that's the same thing with Nico, too, mm-hmm. was that he yes. wanted that new deal. And
they drew the line.
Yeah, they drew the line right there. But Boo is more of a, like, this is just a, you know, just fights between teammates. I think this is, like, a little different, especially from what the article said. It's not NIL related, but, I mean, who knows sometimes. But, like, he's a really good playmaker. That's the one thing I've seen a lot through his time in high school. He is the playmaker. He's the guy that you want on your team mm-hmm. to make the plays, from punt return to defense to offense. So he's just one of those guys you want to have. But do you want the, a sense, drama with it? I mean, I wouldn't say he's a big drama guy. I don't know him personally, but, like, from what we've seen, I mean, yes. it's hard not
okay.
to say that.
Yep. So this is something, D-Mace, that mm-hmm. has happened in sport. I can't speak to the specifics of yes. this one, right? But I think we've all been on a team where you've got a guy who's very talented,
yeah,
but there's issues, right? And you've got a coach and you've got a leadership group where you're trying to figure out, is this guy worth it, or do we need to move on from this guy? And I found it interesting that Heupel went out of his way to say, I consulted our leadership council. So what I don't know is, was he trying to talk the leadership council into keeping him? Or was he trying to talk the leadership council into, let's just get rid of this guy, we can do without him? Because it's always tempting to try to find a way to keep a guy who is a difference maker.
I think at least in my experience, the coach brings the leadership council in, and he explains to the leadership council, this is what the deal is. Now, y'all make the decision on how. I don't, and maybe Heupel went to him and said, I don't want to kick him off the team. I think he's valuable. First sort of hiccup, second chance. But there are things he needs to do. What do y'all want him to achieve before right. he can get back on the team?
Yeah, what do we think is fair?
Exactly.
What you guys do we think have is been fair? Here every day. You're working hard. Exactly. He has.
You know him.
Yeah.
You know him better than I do, because you're hanging around with them more than I as a head coach. What is it that y'all believe the parameters should be, or some of the guidelines should be, in order for him to get back on the team? All right, the player set these guidelines, or the coach said, this is some of the things that I'm thinking, and the player said, yay, nay, all right, add that to the list. So now there's a list. Now I take it back to the player and say, listen, we've all agreed that you are a part of this team, but because of your actions, these are the things that you have to do to get back and build whatever it is you lost with your team. And they may not be hard things, but I need to just see some consistency on some things that we haven't been seeing.
I kind of like this, potentially. And we don't know how it's going to play out, but I have seen this in my past as well, where a coach will come out and he will say, so-and-so is suspended. And it's August. And then it's kind of funny how, you know,
he's not suspended.
September 1st, he's reinstated. You know, so like he never missed any games or anything. So it really is immaterial whether he's quote unquote suspended.
Well, it's
like if you're thrown off the team,
yeah.
that's like
that's
a final.
Big,
that's
yeah.
final. So it's a quasi suspension, but it seems like he's laid out, oh, you want to be on this team? Here's what the leadership council and I agree. Your peers mm-hmm. have determined this is what it takes to come back in.
Yeah,
we don't know the specifics of it, but we have to see how receptive Boo Carter is to this.
Well, it seems that since he hasn't been dismissed from the program, and it has nothing to do with NIL, so they tell us, that he's still a part of their plans moving forward. But he must fulfill sort of these, you know, individual things, these mandates that the team, the leadership, has placed upon them. If you can do that, then we will welcome you with open arms. But If you don't, then, you know, hey, we're going to move on with Archie. That's why they say you're suspended now. But, hey, now is not the season. Now is just or work up to the season. Hopefully, before we get to the season, you will have fulfilled all the requirements that we wanted you to fulfill in order to play the first game of the season.
So, you know, the parameters are key without knowing what it's like. Is it just, hey, you know, like I got, remember one time a guy was suspended. And then it was determined this was a basketball situation where it determined the player was not going to start. Mm-hmm. And so it went from he's suspended to, well, he's not going to start. And then the first 10 minutes of the first game, he was in there. He didn't start, but he was in there the first rotation. Yeah. So really, the penalties, you're like, what price did he really pay for this?
But there is an initial price that you have to pay. But, I mean, it happened to me in college with Nick Saban. You know, he ended up suspending me. And I had to go home because, you know, Marcy and I were dating at the time, and she was really sick. She was in the hospital, and I had to go back and be with her. And I end up staying a little bit longer. I think I end up just missing the next practice, where he said I could miss one practice, but because of the severity of the – and I didn't call. That was his whole thing. You didn't call. I knew that's where you were, but you didn't call. So it went from suspension to, all right, you ran and everything else to, all right, you're going to be suspended for just the first half. And he suspended me for – instead of suspending me for the whole game, he suspended me for the first half. So there you go. So I've been through it.
I also wonder how they sort out the altercation with a teammate, because that's another thing that that's where a leadership council, they know the deal, exactly. Right? They know who, what happened. You don't want it to divide a locker room. And so maybe it's, hey, you got to go to these guys. You got to apologize.
Yeah, you got to apologize.
Something. You got to make amends.
You never, as a team, you never want to take a on-field incident and let it bleed into the off-field. Meaning, once we get off the field, once practice is done, once we've done, it's done. It's over with. Once we walk in that locker room, it's like it's never happened. We're teammates, but in the heat of the battle, this is what goes on. If it bleeds into the locker room and you're still having, then okay, yeah, we need to talk about it. But typically, a lot of it happens on the field. After that, guys are in the locker room, the same two guys that were fussing and pushing, they laughing with one another. You know, so maybe it was something that, you know, not only happened on the field, but it bled into off the field with that same person or people, teammates.
Have you seen the movie Coach Carter?
Yep, seen Coach Carter.
Okay, so this is you can interpret this text on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. They better give him the cruise treatment from Coach Carter.
That's actually, it was Chris Lowe had another tweet about it. He said, important to remember here that the leaders on Vols football team made a pact that all players would be held accountable this year. They're the ones Carter has to win over to get back on the field, and 100% in good graces again. No more mulligans.
Okay, so this is what I guess we'll have to wait and see. Is Carter receptive to this? Is he like, okay, deal? Like, have they talked to him, or have they just say, here's what it's going to take, and you got to come back and let us know. Are you in or are you out?
Because it goes right along with the movie, because I think there was one guy in the movie that he was talking about that was just – he was going against the grain.
Cruz, yeah.
Yeah, Cruz was going against the grain, and he basically – I think he ended up kicking him off the team for a while. And he had to do some stuff to get back on the team. So, yeah, it's the same thing.
Okay.
I think he had to do like a 1,000 push-ups and 1,000 suicides and – order to come back, and then all the guys helped out with that as well.
Yeah, all the guys ran with him. So it's just, you know, you got the cruise treatment.
Yep, so we'll see how this plays out. Yeah. We're just starting the fall camp. We'll see how it plays out. That will be a big story over in Knoxville. When we come back, Jared Stillman's going to join us. We'll wrap things up on the home stretch. We'll get back to the Titans and the first day in pads at training camp. Stay tuned. This is DVD. Our coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Macero at 12 South and Parman Energy Group. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. Adam Vingan is on vacation this week. Our final segment of the show, and then it'll be Stillman and Company starting at the top of the hour. Jared Stillman is on with us as we share our thoughts on the first day of Titans training camp. So, Jared, let's sort of pick up on where we left off. There's been a lot wondering what you have up your sleeve after yesterday. You came on pretty strong on our show, and you continued it into your show about just the being careful about overhyping Cam Ward because he's all they got. And today, clearly, he struggled, so I'm curious how that is going to play out here as he goes through the ups and downs of a rookie season.
So I just want everybody out there to know that you guys said it, not me, that Cam Ward struggled today. You guys said it, not me, that the
I think everybody said it, right?
Does
anybody really think he played well today? I mean, it was just a struggle, but it depends on where you can put that in the perspective.
So I have two big takeaways here that I wanted to jump on and start off with today. The first is I heard you guys last segment talking. Derek said, you know, Jared even says that it feels different out in the training camp. That was not a good difference.
I wanted you to elaborate on your answer.
Well, it just felt different from the standpoint that Vrabel's not there anymore, and Robbie Bourne, the PR director, is not there anymore, and Haas, the equipment guy, he's not there anymore. And so it just feels different with different people, and it kind of feels like all the people that you've known forever with the Titans that are still there are all in pins and needles because I think they're afraid of getting fired. And so it just kind of had this, like, very sterile, very I'm trying to think of the right way to say this, like, it had a very going through the motions, I'm here so I don't get fired feel to it today. That's what I would say I felt today out of training camp. That was different. The optimism of the flowers blooming and of the possibility of all 32 teams winning the Super Bowl at training camp, that does not exist at Titans training camp. It is just a sorrow of, man, let's get through the next 2 hours.
Well, I went into camp knowing that's how you guys had felt last week, one of the first practices. And even Cam Ward says what he said, it was mid, right? The first. And we were wondering, how could that be on the first day? So I came in trying to be open-minded and not listen to all that and just kind of see what I saw. And even I have to say, I'm usually the one looking for reasons why that's wrong and we shouldn't emphasize that too much. It's not a big thing. Yeah. But I didn't see the people. You know, you need those guys who provide energy, whether it's a Jim Washburn on the on the coaching staff or a player or two that like to keep the energy up. And this is not with trash talking or this is not with fights or anything extreme like that, but pumping each other up, you know, creating a little fun competition, keeping an energy level where it needs to be. I do think it was a little low today.
I felt like when I was watching the big boys do the one-on-ones, you know, they put 15 minutes or whatever for the period up there on the clock. And, you know, I want to see the big guys in the pads go up against each other. I want to see how the offensive line looked. So I go down there to go watch the big guys, you know, Simmons versus Kevin Zeitler and Arden Key versus Dan Moore. And I'm going down there to see that. And they were just lollygagging out there, you know, getting from point A to point B. It like took 3 minutes for them to get the drill started. I'm like, hurry up! Hurry up!
See, they need
Let's
you on the staff.
Go!
You could be the get back coach and the hype coach.
The hype man.
They need me on the staff to give everybody a reality check around there because I am telling you, I sat there with you guys. You guys. This is not Jared Stillman. I know everybody says, oh, Jared Stillman, all he is negative. That's it. It's Willie and Derek. Willie just admitted to the fact that he is always looking for the reason that the glass is half full. And Derek, I mean, I hate to say it, but Derek has had some seriously homerific takes over the years that I've had to get up his rear end about. You know, over the time. And so Willie and Derek are sitting there with me at practice, and they're like, yeah, this wasn't a very good practice today. This was the energy wasn't very good. Cam wasn't very good. This wasn't good. So I want everybody to know, they were the ones saying it, not me, that it wasn't very good. Then I watched the videos of all the guys coming off the field and the press conferences they did. Yeah, it was a good day of practice today. And I'm like, nobody, they probably think that's good. They probably think that's good. You guys know when you go into kind of a small town, or even some bigger towns where the local sports radio is just trash and you're listening to it and you guys know what good radio is. So you listen to it and you're like, these guys suck. These guys don't know what they're doing. These guys, I'm telling you, those guys behind the mic, they think what they're doing is good. It is not good. I'm telling you, Derek, you know what good is because not only did you play in the NFL for a long time, but you were very good in the NFL. You know what good is. You were at practice today. It was not good. They think it was good. That is a problem, is it not?
I mean, listen, yes, it would. Yes, it is a problem. But I'm not taking the problem no further than what it needs to go. I'm waiting on them to show me something opposite of what they've shown the last couple of times I've been out there. Now, one can say, well, Mason, they've shown you what they've shown you. They are who they are, and I get that part. But I do understand, too, that, you know, practices at times may not go the way you want to, but I want to see how they come back out the next opportunity that they have. That's my thing. And if it's bad again, then I'm going to say, in my opinion, it's bad. I do take, that you say I'm a homer, though, man. I don't think I've ever given a homer.
I didn't say you're a homer.
I take offense to that.
You have had some homerific takes. And just sometimes
Jared,
I am fighting on the side of reality with you two.
Jared, stop it. Because just because I don't see it like you doesn't mean I'm a homer, man. I'm just giving it the way I see it.
I have had to defend the fact that Aaron Brewer stunk with you and Chris Sanders for so many Sundays.
He didn't stink.
On end. He stunk.
He was an okay player.
All right, I got one more.
I had to compete with you guys about LeJarius Sneed and the validity of his quad injury.
Well, I mean, he was a quad injury.
You guys initially. Said, well, the Titans said.
Was it initially a quad injury?
Homer.
Okay, so Dr. Stillman and Coach Stillman have reared themselves during this short segment. Jared, I got one more for you. Christian Wilkins, I'm fascinated by this whole thing. Jimmy Shapiro, who always sends me emails, I don't know who he is, but he's got one of these prop services, right? He sets odds for a lot of things. Care to guess the favorite on the betting lines of where Christian Wilkins will end up now that the Raiders have cut bait on a 4-year, $110 million contract?
Vrabel.
Exactly. Does that surprise you?
That's only because Vrabel said that, like, in a press conference he was asked about it, Vrabel said they'll look at it. I got to tell you, this kiss on the head thing, that seems rather incomplete in terms of the Adam Schefter report yesterday that Christian Wilkins kissed a teammate on the head, but it was like a playful kissing on the head, and then you see videos of him grabbing, you know, the cojones of Josh Allen and Curtis Samuel when he was in college at Clemson, and it sounds like there's some there, and I don't know, man.
The Titans, by the way, are 25-1 to sign Wilkins. But the guy can play.
But he's dealing with a foot injury, too, ankle injury, whatever it is.
When's that stop the Titans?
He got a point there. This is a new regime.
Right, but if he ends up with Vrabel.
Jarrett, it's a new regime.
But if he goes to Vrabel, I think it just adds to the intrigue of what does Vrabel have up his sleeve with New England this year? We will see. Yeah. All right, Jarrett, have a great show. We'll talk to you.
Gentlemen.
Later.
All right, that'll do it for us for DVD. We're back at training camp tomorrow morning for our observations and then back here with you on the air from 11 to 2.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Tuesday. Peace.